I want to start just with the fact that the first time that I met you was in 2003 when you were doing the Women in Rock show. And you remember that?
Oh my gosh, 2003, Women in Rock. What stage was that on? Because I feel like I've done Women in Rock way later than 2003.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember exactly what stage it was. I want to say it was the Charleston Music Hall, but I just remember the first time I met you, and every time I saw you perform after that, I was like, oh my God, this lady is so talented and sounds so awesome. And I'm just thinking, you know, 2003 is, you know, 18 years ago. Any way that the 2003 Carrie Ann Hurst would have suspected where you'd be now in 2021?
Carrie Ann Hurst back then would be out of her mind and completely satisfied. Carrie Ann Hurst from back then would have been happy 5 or 6 years ago and would have been content with that.
You know, Carrie Ann, you're violating one of the principles that people have oftentimes when it comes to working. And, of course, one of the things is if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And, obviously, you're doing what you love. But you're working with your husband. How's that working out for you?
Yeah, we've been kicking it, married, traveling around all this time. And it's been, you know, mostly amazing.
Well, I mean, but what a great treat to travel around with your best friend and your husband and being able to do all that you do. But you've got kids at home. Tell everybody what your family status is right now.
Okay, so we have squired a pair, a boy and a girl. The girl's 5. She'll be the CEO of something. She's quite bright. And the boy is just a darling, sweet, 2-year-old, bouncing, running, smile machine. We have had the privilege to travel with them. You know, last year we've been home and no travel has been happening, which is probably best because the 2-year-old is just out of control on the bus. But yeah, it's just been this amazing adventure of like small children and travel. We waited till we were able to get on a bus, which was wise of us. it's great, you know, we've been with them all the time. It's this weird combination of stay-at-home mom and full-time at-work mom, but they're just always with us.
Has that been a silver lining on the dark cloud of the pandemic and getting to spend more time with your kids rather than maybe being on the road more?
Yeah, I feel like when in this pandemic, you have to find the silver linings just to digest it, to be able to, like, compartmentalizing all of the sorrows of the world, we've kind of just this year with the kids at home, it's been precious. And turns out I needed a little bit of rest.
Well, that's the time though with your kids that you never get back. And so, yeah, I'm glad you've been enjoying that. They always say the days and nights are long, but the years fly by.
They get
old quick. And so you got to enjoy it while you can. And that's those great ages right there. How have you guys handled this whole pandemic thing? Because Shovels and Rope was, you know, right in the middle of just, you know, a lot of stuff going on, and you and all of your friends in the music industry. I mean, it's been a forced time out.
What we've done to get through it is put our heads down, focus on our family, take control of what we could take control of, focused on well-being, finding healthy ways that aren't, you know, drugs, alcohol, it's sugar to like process. We have been exercising, meditating, and working on art. Michael's been working in the studio. He's got 3 projects going. I've been writing. And it's funny, like, we're a year. It's like, it's our coronaversary today.
Really?
The day we came home a year ago and like, you know, found out that everything was done for a while. And, it's funny, like, I'm kind of getting at my wits' end. I'm ready to see the tour family. And I was in the Panera listening to the, you know, house music while I was waiting for my coffee, and it was Blitz and Trapper. And I swear, I started crying in the middle of Panera because I thought to myself, the song Fur has not been played to the universe in over a year. What does that mean for, like, the cosmos to have all these songs that just even haven't been sung out loud? What does that mean?
It
means that's me at the end of my existential crisis.
Well, it means the universe, like everybody else, is waiting with anxious anticipation to hear those songs again. Now, let me ask you, because a lot of the artists that we've talked to over the last year have talked about the pandemic and the way that it's affected them, obviously, in a creative sense. Some of them, though, have turned it into positive energy from the standpoint of it's given them time and, in fact, inspired them to produce some things that were almost pandemic-related. I mean, has this time, does that mean that we can wait with anxious anticipation for some wonderful new shovels and rope material and other things that your husband Michael's working on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's funny. We've all had a lot of time to think and write. Michael and I recorded most of a record at the beginning of the pandemic, and now we're revisiting the record and kind of, Michael's actually, as we speak, fleshing out some tracks on that, and I'm really excited about it. There's Shovel Rope records are always a mix of history stories, self-analysis, there's going to be a lot of a mix of, you know, our own processing and a lot of, there's a really great song on there about the death of James Dean and his ghost walking around called Domino. I'm really excited about tons of new music coming from Shovels and Rope because, you know, that's one thing we do know how to do is sit down and write stuff.
Absolutely. Can you give us a tease on when this might be available?
You know, we were talking about when the record was supposed to be released, or my mind is Swiss cheese holes, but I believe that it's going to be like February. It's going to be creeping around. Right now, we're cruising around enjoying all the action that Busted Juice Box is getting. Have you heard that track that we did with Sharon Van Etten?
I have not, but I've read about it, and I bet it sounds great. She's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good if I do say so myself.
Well, you can say so. The only kind of promotion we believe in is shameless self-promotion, so we like that a lot here.
Baby, I ain't ashamed. I ain't ashamed at all. we've been kind of doing that. I don't know what this record's going to be called, and I don't know, like, much about when specifically it's going to come out, but it's, you know, not to toot Michael's horn, but every record he makes, I'm always excited at the growth of our own sound, and I get to kind of experience that, like, I guess as the fans would, because I creep into the studio every, 2 weeks to kind of see what he's sizing up, and the record, the last record we made was, like, kind of out of control with tons of sounds, and we did whatever we wanted to with the Mellotron, and then we started doing this one, and it was real stripped down, but that idea's gone. Ain't no telling what kind of craziness it's going to be on this record.
It's great to have that kind of musical freedom and to be able to take it on your own time, you know, with no deadlines or whatever, you know. And, I mean, a pandemic has thrown everything into change, including the High Water Festival. And I wanted to ask you about that so you can talk to everybody about, you know, I guess, where does it stand now? I mean, obviously it's been canceled for the second straight year this year, mm-hmm. but plans on bringing it back next year? And just talk about how that thing all started and where it's evolved to now, because it's really a tremendous festival.
Thank you. It's really something we are very proud of. And, you know, where it stands right now is, it takes us about a year, the day High Water's over, we start putting together the next one. So, obviously, for 2021, that wasn't going to be a situation that was safe or logistically possible to execute. But word on the street is 2022 is shaping up. They're, the artists are feeling like, you know, it could be responsible to be able to go back to work, and the vaccinations seem to be whipping around, so it seems that we're going to be on, lest I speak too soon. How it came to be was Michael and I had the privilege of going to all these amazing festivals, big and small, all over the country, and there are things we liked about some and things we despised about others, and we felt that maybe we could make a festival like we would want to go to, mm-hmm. and one we would want to play at in our own town, because our town's cool as hell.
That's right.
But we've had all kinds of cool festivals, but nothing that necessarily could get like the same kind of organization and infrastructure that some other national festivals had. So when they asked us to do it, we said no. That sounded like too much work and responsibility. And that's true, because if we did it, it would be worse than the Fyre Festival. But responsible adults who in our organization said, don't worry, we'll get responsible adults to handle the infrastructure. And so we work with AC Entertainment, and we'll put it on. We had a blast picking all the bands. We had a blast bringing them to our town, because, you know, Charleston, we get bands, especially more and more and more nowadays, but it's kind of hard, you know, for the booking agents to route us over this way. It's
right.
Not necessarily a huge market, but the festival brought us opportunity to kind of like show off our town and bring some bands like we like into the mix. And hopefully when we come back, we'll just have years and years and years of doing that. Hopefully it'll be an institution of music in this city long after we are not around.
Well, that's a great job in curating High Water. And I know for a lot of people, the first time they went to it, they were like, this is a big time festival right here in our cool little town of Charleston, right there at Riverfront Park on the banks of the river. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. Is there any indication that any of the artists that you had scheduled for 2020 might be able to come back in 2022?
I honestly haven't had those conversations yet,
okay.
But the hope is across the industry, you know, if we all had our druthers, fans, the artists, the managers and the agents, we would all just kind of pick up where we left off, and
right.
All the holds would just like stamp it on the next year. And I think to a certain degree, some of that is going to happen. I know everybody's eager to get back to work. So while I can't say, even suggest at this moment that the lineup will be the same, I would be quite surprised if there weren't a bunch of crossovers from the bill that got canceled. And and I certainly hope that's the case, because, damn, I was excited about seeing Shannon and the Clams.
Hey, there were some great bands on that lineup. We were all so excited, and like everybody else, disappointed when it was canceled. But it's great to hear that is going to be back next year. It looks like, you know, knock on wood, don't want to jinx anything or whatever, but it does look like it, and it's such a tremendous festival. And you mentioned the fact that, you know, Shovels and Rope, you guys have played, you know, a number of festivals, some concerts, a number of TV appearances. Is there are there any particular shows that stand out to you when you think back about it, Carrie Ann?
Oh, yeah, man. Like, when we went on Letterman, I messed up, and I had to stop right there and, like, start over in the magic television. You never knew it happened, but that was just wild, because you feel like it's the most important thing, you know, because you're on a big show on TV. But it was fine. Nothing, you know, nobody's career was ruined, and everything was fine. They let me, you know, start over. And but it kind of made our parents all felt like, especially Michael's parents, who were older, kind of felt secure in our success because they saw us on TV. And I like Conan O'Brien is like somebody Michael and I, we stand him real hard. We follow his podcast and stuff, and we've always been a fan. So it was really great to be on there. Still hadn't landed Saturday Night Live, working on it. You know, it's one of those things that's about the hardest get you can get, but wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, man, that would be great. And that's so funny that your parents were finally convinced, or Michael's parents were finally convinced he's going to be okay musically. He's been on late night television now. It's
that's
okay.
Right.
but, you know, and just also the fact that you guys, the two of you, bring so much power and energy on the stage, and how that translates to a festival stage when you're on stage in front of tens of thousands of people.
It's a challenge, man. There's a lot of people. I just got to focus in on who the ones where I can, like, I try to pretend it's 200 people, no matter how many people it is.
Now, I have to ask you, Carrie Ann, because I ran into you, of course, at Pickin' in the Park on Johns Island County Park when you were playing with the Marshgrass Mamas. And by the way, nice cover of Uncle Tupelo and Bob Dylan in your set there. But that seems like that's a lot of fun for you, a labor of love, if you will.
Oh, it is. We're the Charleston's award-winning worst bluegrass band. The women in my life in that band, like musically, obviously, I love to play music with them. But in my life, the Marshgrass Mamas, like, we are a community of women that just kind of help each other along, like, life experience and advice about raising husbands and You know, it's an incredible community I get to be a part of. They started that band way before I was ever in it. In fact, they broke up for a while, and then I stole Gina and Tom out of and made the Butterbeans, and then the Marshgrass Mamas invited the Butterbeans back to join the fold.
Well, you guys sound so much fun, you ladies and the Marshgrass Mamas. And I love that, training husbands. That's a good discussion for another day. And let me ask you, Carrie Ann, we talked about how Charleston's such a cool city. The music scene in Charleston has really evolved over the last few years. I mean, you start thinking about Band of Horses hanging out here in town, Doom Flamingo with Ryan Stasek from Unfreez McGee, Need to Breathe, Stoplight Observations, much less how Driving and Crying seem to hang out here all the time, and Hootie and Darius, and this is the hometown for Shovels and Rope. The Charleston music scene, I mean, talk about that. It has really gotten to be something.
Well, I think one thing that's always been cool about the Charleston music scene is the cooperative nature, the kind of a symbiotic coexistence of rock and roll, jazz, blues, hip-hop, all the things the young people, because I'm one of the old people now, and you know, you may not know this, but I am now a middle-aged legend status, lower-level legend status musician, no longer hip and cool, but, you know, I get respect.
Oh, no, you're hip and cool, and you do get respect.
Thank you. There's so much hip, cool, young energy in this town, in the music scene, and it's always been impressive. A lot of the stuff that's going on now, we've been on the road, you know, and kind of missed the next evolution. But every day I drive past the poorhouse, I'm assured that this town has got real, just scrappy, great bands, and always has. And I don't know if it was just because, like, the restaurant and bar scene always kept supported us, you mm-hmm. know, would pay us to play, and that's so that we could, like, get good and play all the time and make a party for everybody in this town that loves to crowd. But I don't know. It's just, this place is funky. It has cool people and cool energy, and it's full of storytellers. And now, you know, there's a nice, whatever, like a fomented, commercially successful kind of wing of the Charleston art scene. But there's this complete, like, there's always just amazing things going on in the city. I'm always astounded. I wish I was still 25. I could, like, get out in the mix and keep up with everybody, because it's just, that is one thing that carries on no matter how many wetlands they fill in or how many condos they put up or how many complaining about this, that, and the other. That holds true always with this city.
Absolutely. And you know what? You're still cool and funky and a good storyteller. And even if domesticity has caught up to you as a mom and training husbands and stuff, but it's so good to talk to you, Carrie Ann. And I know that we, you and Michael, as much as anybody, disappointed about High Water this year, but so excited for what the possibilities are for next year and new Shovels and Rope music. And it's just great to catch up with you, Carrie Ann. So,
hey, thanks for making the time, man. It's always good to talk to you. Thanks for your support. And I can't wait to run into you again on a beautiful day like we had a couple weeks ago.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, people saw you at the Around the Bend concert series, the last batch that happened. And I know you're playing at the Cola concerts up there in Columbia and staying busy. And, hey, enjoy those kids. And we will see you on another beautiful day to hear some more great live music. So, Carrie Ann Hurst, great to talk to you. You and Michael, take care, all right?
You too. Thanks for your time.